Student of the Bible and not see the Pentecostal truth, the Pentecostal doctrine all through it. Amen. It's not just a few people hidden away in different places that believe in Pentecost. Pentecost is a worldwide movement. Amen. It's a worldwide movement. And the Pentecostal church, actually, the New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost. Born on the day of Pentecost. So we want to talk about this. This is Pentecost Sunday, and we just want to take a few minutes to talk about Pentecost today, because I'm sure there's some that have some confusion about it, and maybe some that maybe not don't even believe in the importance of the Pentecostal experience. But thank God that when you look and read and study the Bible, you're going to see that the Pentecostal experience is a New Testament experience, and it's one that has empowered the church to be what it is to be. And without it, we're powerless. Without it, we can't do what we've been commissioned to do, to reach the world for Jesus Christ. We're so limited, we cannot at all accomplish what we have been commissioned to do. So let's talk about Pentecost. So we'll read a good old Pentecostal text from Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Pergia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We could read on, but we'll stop reading right there. Of course, the word Pentecost means 50. And today, being Pentecost Sunday, it's 50 days since Passover, 50 days since we celebrated Easter weekend. 50 days have passed. Does it seem like 50 days since Easter weekend? Well, it was 50 days after the resurrection that the events that we read to you there in Acts chapter 2 took place. That this miraculous event took place that gave a surge of power to those early believers, causing them to be able to begin promoting the gospel with such power and such ability that 3,000 were saved, 2,000 were saved, and they were added to the church every day, and the church wasn't just growing, it was multiplying. It was growing in such an incredible and amazing way that it was obvious that it could not happen by any natural ability or anyone's scheme or plan. It had to be a supernatural power that had come upon those early believers that caused the church to have the power to accomplish what they were accomplishing. Amen. This was a feast time known to the Jews as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. And so it's interesting that it is also the beginning of the harvest of the church. Pentecost equals celebration. Pentecost equals harvest. Pentecost equals the birth of the church. The church was born in spiritual power. Praise God. So when you read the book of Acts and you read about the New Testament church and you subtract the Pentecostal experience from it, it's like, what? How? Why would you ever do that? That's the very essence of everything that the church was able to accomplish. It was because of this glorious outpouring of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. The scripture says that it was the promise of the Father. And that's from the book of Acts, chapter 1. That this experience was the promise of the Father. And Jesus, before he had ascended into heaven, he told the disciples, go to Jerusalem, wait there, tarry until, stay there until you are endued with power from on high. Wait there for the promise of the Father. Amen. You have to remember that God is a God who keeps his word. Men fail us. Men don't keep their promises. But God is not a man that he should lie. God keeps his word, doesn't he? He keeps his promise. Go all the way back to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel is a prophet in Babylon. I mean, things are bad in Babylon, in captivity. But God speaks to through Ezekiel the prophet, telling those Jews, telling them that there is an event that's going to take place in the future. And he gave them a promise. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Praise God. So Ezekiel the prophet received that wonderful word telling them, there's coming a day when I'm going to take your stony heart out and I am going to give you a heart of flesh and I'm going to pour my spirit out upon you. Thank God that our Father, our Heavenly Father, keeps his promises. He does what he's promised that he would do. There's not one good word of his promise that he has ever failed. He will keep his promise. And so this Holy Ghost experience that was the power that powered the church, that started the church, that caused the church to be what God intended it to be 50 days after the resurrection, Pentecost was a wonderful, wonderful celebration of the power. Now, what was the source of this Pentecostal experience? Well, the Bible says, and I read it to you there from Acts chapter 2. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Those disciples, 120 of them, waited in obedience to the command of Jesus just before he ascended when he told them, go to the upper room, stay there, wait there until you are endued with power from on high. And so they went there. They went to the upper room and they waited. 10 days went by, and the Bible says, I read to you from Acts chapter 2, that the heavens opened suddenly from heaven. Heaven is the source of this Holy Ghost gift. Amen. It came out of heaven. The heavens opened up, and this wonderful third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, descended down upon those, that group of believers that were waiting in obedience to the word of Jesus, and the command of our Lord, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the room where they were sitting. The whole room is saturated and filled with this glorious sound from heaven. It filled the house where they were sitting. And then there was an appearance, a visible appearance, of cloven tongues of fire sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now I'll give you all a challenge to read through the book of Acts and see all the places. There are five of them. Five places where whenever the Holy Ghost came upon a different group of people, that they spoke with other tongues and prophesied sometimes. Spoke with tongues and prophesied. Five places there that it's inferred that they spoke with other tongues. I believe that whenever a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, that there is a beginning evidence, a initial first evidence that they have been filled. It's only the first evidence. After that, there are many other evidences that should be real in your life. But as the initial first evidence that you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. Praise God. Amen. My experience as a young kid, about 14 years old, was that I was pretty much determined that I was not going to let anybody see me get emotional. I wasn't going to let anyone see me speak with other tongues. I asked some brothers to go with me to pray in another room, in another part of the church. And some of you have heard the story of my Pentecostal experience. But as a young boy, about maybe 14 years old, I went back into this back room in the church. There was a revival in the church. A lot of young people were praying, getting saved, being baptized in the Spirit. And I was too proud. Let me tell you, pride and the gift of the Holy Ghost do not go together. They don't go together. You have to humble yourself. You have to be willing to submit yourself to the Lord and to what God has for you. I went into that back room full of pride, and finally, after I got rid of that pride and humbled myself, laying flat on my back in that Sunday school classroom, the Spirit of God descended into that room, and as a young boy, I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It was a life-changing encounter, a life-changing experience that I had that I never got away from. I never forgotten it, and I want to see it continuing and updated and continually filled and refilled throughout my Christian experience. Heaven opens up because it is the source of this wonderful gift is out of heaven. And it is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father that He's promised that He would pour out His Spirit upon those that are hungering and thirsting for God. Amen. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Glory to God. That's what happened that day. And it was a glorious experience. And here are some of the things that will take place as the result of Pentecostal power. Number one, it will be there will be a drawing factor. There will be something about it that is attractive to people. Amen. Now, I understand that some kind of back away from the Pentecostal experience because, you know, they want to stay all, you know, proper, and they don't want anything. You know, they want everything just to be properly and in order. They don't want to. I love it when I see someone that's all stiff and proper and every hair is in place. I love it when I see someone like that get the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord knows how to shake the pride out of a person and change that person and cause them to recognize how much they need Jesus and how much that they need the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. So the Bible says that it was noised abroad. The whole city is filled with people because it's feast time. The whole city is filled with people that have come from far and near, and all these Jews that have gathered together in Jerusalem, they're there to offer sacrifices. They're there to celebrate the Feast of the Harvest. It's going to be this wonderful time of celebrating harvest. They're not there for this encounter, but it's noised abroad. It just simply means that the experience that happened there in that upper room among those disciples, that it spread throughout the city, and there was this drawing power to the working and the moving of the Holy Ghost. It was noised abroad. The entire city was stirred up by what they heard, and the Jews were drawn to it. I want you to know, if there's a genuine move of the Holy Ghost and people are truly being filled with the Holy Ghost, and that there's something about it that draws people, it stirs people, it causes them to long for something more, something greater. I believe that people are drawn to the supernatural. Samuel Chadwick said, "The world will never believe in a religion in which there is no supernatural power." I don't have the ability to convince men that they're sinners, nor do you. I don't have the ability to heal the sick. I can't change people's lives. I can't do a lot of the things that I would love to see happen in the lives of people. But whenever the Spirit of God invades our lives, when the Spirit of God invades our church, then supernatural things begin to happen, and God begins to heal the sick and to save the lost and to deliver those that are bound by the things of darkness. That's what the power of the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, it will have a drawing impact, a drawing effect, causing people to be drawn to the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. The crowds were drawn to Jesus because of his healings and his miracles. The genuine working of the Holy Ghost will always attract people. Amen. Not like a sideshow, but will attract them because they are hungering and thirsting for something real and mighty and powerful. People want to see the reality of your experience with Jesus. It's one thing to say, "I love the Lord." It's one thing to have a testimony that you love the Lord. But what the world is looking for is the dramatic supernatural change that has come into your life, and that there's something going on in your life that is certainly a miracle, and they will be drawn to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it has a drawing power. Not only that, but this Pentecostal experience has a transforming power. A transforming power. Remember Peter, who was weak and all waffly and just could not, you know, he was not at all stable. Peter, in his before Pentecost, pre-Pentecost, one minute he is declaring his allegiance to Jesus Christ and saying, "I'll die with you, I'll go to the cross with you." And then the next minute, in just a few hours, he's denying the Lord. He's cursing everybody around him. He's so inconsistent. That's pre-Pentecost Peter. That's who he was before his Pentecostal experience. But after Pentecost, I read to you what was going on in the life of Peter. He stood up that day with a boldness. I'm telling you, there's something different about him now. When he speaks on the day of Pentecost, he's been transformed. His post-Pentecostal Peter is he's standing up. He has power. He speaks with power. He speaks with authority. He speaks words that are with such authority that it pricks the hearts of his listeners. and he speaks and declares the whole counsel of God without fear, without favor. He declares he's a transformed Peter. The Holy Ghost can do that for you. It can change you from a backward, shy person, from someone who has no courage to speak up for the Lord, and transform you into someone with power and authority to speak the word of the Lord and to speak with boldness and to proclaim the goodness of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost can transform you and can change you. Who needs to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? Everybody in this building, without exception. Every one of you in this building, without exception, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so don't think, well, I can kind of hide over in the here in the corner here, and I'm doing okay the way things are going along. Oh, no, no. No, if you're going to reach the potential of your calling and your purpose in God, if you're going to be all that God wants you to be, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And it is a transforming experience, glory to God, that can change you. Not only does it have drawing power, not only does it have transforming power, but it also has convicting power. Praise God. The Bible says in Acts 2 in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now it's important what version of the Bible that you read. It really is. I read one version of this that said that when they heard what Peter said, they were upset. Come on now. It says they were pricked in their heart. You know what the word means? It means they were stabbed. They were pierced in their heart. The Holy Ghost pierced their heart. They weren't just upset. They were pierced. They were pricked in their heart and convicted. That's what Holy Ghost conviction can accomplish and will accomplish. I don't know about you, but I've been in services down through the years where the preaching of the Word of God was going forth. God was moving by His Spirit in the service, and I was pricked in my heart. I was stabbed in my heart, and I knew that God had pointed out an area of my life, and He was dealing with me about some areas of my life that needed to change. And it was Holy Ghost conviction. And it was the convicting work of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, I've seen people before. It just, you can see it come over their face. Their whole countenance changes. Their expression changes whenever conviction comes. I mean, they almost turn pale because it's almost as if they're saying, I've been caught. I've been caught in my sin, in my wrong. Holy Ghost conviction has the power to cut you to the heart and to deal with you about your failures, your weaknesses, your shortcomings. That's just another reason why that we need to be filled with the Spirit, and that the church needs to be a place where there is a working and a moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that we need God's mighty power at work on this Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Also, this experience brings saving power. Now, we've all seen people come to the Lord and get saved. If I see someone come to the altar and get saved, I'm telling you what, it's a rejoicing time. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, I've never experienced what they experienced on the day of Pentecost. I don't know what I would do if 3,000 people rushed forward and were pricked in their heart. And the Bible says that they gladly heard the word and were convicted and were saved. Amen. They were saved. 3,000 souls gladly received the word and were saved. Now that was a miracle. Now any conversion is a miracle. If one person gets saved, it's a miracle. Don't take me wrong, and don't think that it isn't important if one person comes to the Lord. But on the day of Pentecost, something supernatural took place. Because Peter this guy preached in power and authority. Conviction fell upon that crowd of Jews, and 3,000 souls were saved. I'm telling you, that was a miraculous event, a miraculous day. And so we could say whenever there is a work and a move of the Holy Ghost, that there is saving power. There is saving power. There is miraculous saving power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." What an amazing scripture and an amazing promise that that is. But notice this, the power that you receive, you shall receive power. The Greek word is dunamis, which just means explosive power. It means something mighty and explosive in power. And you shall receive this power, and then you'll become witnesses. Again, the Greek word is the word martus. It's the word from which we get our word martyr. So the Holy Ghost will give you the power to reach out to the lost, and even to the point of laying down your own life if necessary, to even be a martyr for the cause of Christ. That's the power. That's the sufficient power that is given to us whenever we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. To minister and to reach out to those that need to be saved, even those that are lost. Now, I really believe that what we need, one of the things that we need to be praying for here in this local church, is the miraculous and the supernatural. Amen. Not, again, not just so that we have a sideshow, but you'll see all through the book of Acts, you'll see that that coinciding with the miraculous and the supernatural was the open door to preach the gospel. Amen. It opened up the minds and the hearts of people to hear and to preach the gospel. Let me give you a few verses. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "Now many signs and wonders were..." Let me just read it from the screen here, because I've got this in a wrong version here. "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Verse 13. "And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." Verse 14. "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." There were signs, there were wonders, there were miracles that were taking place, and as a result, there was this wonderful conversion of multitudes of people. Their hearts were opened. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked? Acts chapter 28, on the island of Malta, a shipwreck there, and he's picking up sticks for the fire, and a serpent comes out of those sticks and latches hold of his hand, and he just shakes it off in the fire. And all those that lived on the island of Malta said, "Oh, he must be a wicked man. He's come under judgment now." And so they were sitting back waiting for him to swell up and die. But he didn't. And so when he didn't, then they said, "Oh, he must be a god. He must be a god." And so they took him to the house of one of their men. And he prayed for this man's father. And the man was healed, was completely delivered from his sickness as a result of the miracle of him shaking off the serpent and the healing of this man. He was able to preach the gospel to the island of Malta. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that whenever there are signs and wonders and miracles that are taking place among us, it opens up the hearts of people to hear and to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord, send your mighty power into our church that we would see healings, miracles, mighty deliverances. We would see your mighty hand at work among us. And when we do, many will come to the Lord as a result of that. The Apostle Paul said, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Because of that, he was able to preach the gospel to a world that needed to hear it, because he preached in the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. We need the miraculous. Amen. Just like that Peter experienced that day on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls came to the Lord. Amen. This Pentecostal experience, it's so unified. Those people, the Bible says that they all believe, and all they that believe were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. There was something dramatic that was going on there. The Holy Ghost was uniting those people together, binding them together, and it caused them to have such power and influence, the unity of the Spirit touching the lives of so many people. The last verse of chapter 2, Acts, it says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was this ability to multiply believers. Many were coming to the Lord. And it was not an adding to the church, it was a multiplying of the believers. There was supernatural working of the Spirit of God that took place as a result of this Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is essential equipment to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost. And so to ignore it is a sad mistake. A sad mistake to ignore this glorious experience. The Pentecostal experience was poured out at this wonderful season of natural harvest, but also at this season of spiritual harvest. Amen. And people were added to the church and multiplied in the church, and many were coming to the Lord as a result of this glorious Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for it. Let's stand together all across this building. Amen. Many of you have known the Lord and come to the Lord, but some of you have never been filled with the Spirit. You've never been filled with the Spirit. It's for you. It's for you. It's for every believer, everyone that's been born again. This experience is for you. Amen. Don't allow anything to discourage you from entering in to what God has made provision for. Hallelujah. Praise God. On this Pentecost Sunday, we've got this glorious reminder of all that God has done to provide the power that is needed to do the work. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I thought it was just a few people that were Pentecostal people. Oh my goodness. Go to India and see the Pentecostal outpouring all over India. Especially southern India. It's an incredible thing to see by the multiplied thousands of people. Praise God. All over Africa. African countries. Such a glorious, glorious thing. It's all over the world, this Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It's the very thing that causes the church to have the power to do what God has called us to do. Amen. The most important thing that that we should be focused on is the lost of this world. Those in our community, those around the world, that should be the greatest burden of our heart. But I have to tell you, they're out of our reach. They're completely out of our reach, except by the Spirit. Only by the Spirit can we reach them. Only by the Spirit can our witness have power to reach them. Only by the Spirit can they be convicted and see their need to be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel your need. You feel a need to be filled with the Spirit. Some of you, like me, do you feel your need to be refilled with His Spirit? Hallelujah. There's a lot of room up here in the front. I want to invite everybody to come here to the front. Just lift up your hands and ask the Lord. Do you understand that He has promised to fill you, to pour His Spirit out upon all those who ask? If you're willing to ask, He has promised, I'll fill you. Amen. And if you'll come to this altar area here, stand or kneel and lift your hand toward heaven and ask the Lord, Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. I don't have the power that I need. I need your power, Lord, to do the work that you've called me to do. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to welcome you to come. Everybody that would, come around the front of this building. You need this wonderful gift. You need this promise of the Father. Hallelujah. It hasn't passed away. I know that some teach, preach, well, that was for the days of the apostles. Those days are gone. No, no, no. Oh, no. It's very real and it's very needed in these days, these last days. Hallelujah. Praise God.